Opens and 4 British Opens and 5 PGAs. He earned more than $1 million on the tour, which was a phenomenal sum almost three quarters of a century ago. And yet for Walter Hagen, golf was not only a lucrative but a decorative art. You see, since that first small ball was launched down a Scottish fairway, golf has been a prestigious sport. Once upon a time, Walter Hagen was the sport's prestigious king. His clothing was elegant, immaculate. His personality was dashing and dignified. He arrived at tournaments in a chauffeur-driven Daimler limousine with a footman, always a polite few minutes late. He traveled with 3 full trunks of fancy apparel, replete with custom-tailored silk shirts and an omnipresent valet. From hunting trips to gala parties at the Savoy, Walter Hagen hobnobbed with the world's elite. Recreational golfing partners included the Duke of Windsor and the President of the United States. What higher status might a society sportsman achieve than to clink champagne glasses at the Ritz with the glamorous greens giant, Walter Hagen? Manufacturers constantly sought him for endorsements, and he accepted only the best. Wherever he went, buoyant crowds followed, admirers who numbered in the millions worldwide, enthusiastic galleries who stood breathless with each putt and cheered uncontrollably as each found the cup. Walter Hagen was once presented with a gold cigarette case by the Emperor of Japan. Following his 3rd British Open title in 1928, he was officially welcomed to New York by Mayor Jimmy Walker. And yet it was another British Open, won 5 years previous, one which he did not win, which the great Walter Hagen was always to recall. He had lost by 1 stroke to a British golfer named Arthur Havers. After the tournament, after it was over, the secretary of the Troon Golf Club came out to the 18th green to speak with runner-up Hagen, and he announced that even though Hagen had not won, the secretary said he was still welcome to enter the clubhouse, with the winner, and to be present for the presentation of the trophy. He was to be admitted to the clubhouse? Well, pro golfers until that day were not. And so at the clubhouse door, Walter Hagen turned and he addressed the excited crowd and he told them that he had been invited inside. He told them it would be the first time any American pro golfer had ever been permitted in the clubhouse. He told them, however, that the local pub was where they had always been welcome, and he invited the whole crowd to follow him there, and they did. For you see, golf has always been, as I say, a prestigious sport among socially acceptable country club amateurs. But the professional golfers were treated as trash. Professional golfers were bums until Walter Hagen. It was he who battered down the clubhouse door with a velvet-gloved hand, with a style unique among his professional peers. For professional golfers in those days were sleeping in their cars and changing clothing in the caddy shack. And they were shunned by respectable people. Today, professional golfers are welcomed everywhere. The reason is not something, the reason is someone. And now you know who, because you know the rest of the story.
This hour of Sound Off on KPRL, brought to you by Buy the Book Heating and Air, your local, reliable heating and air expert. Call 805-423-5119.
238-5775. 238-KPRL. Sound Off continues on KPRL, the North County's number one choice for news, talk, and sports. This is Sound Off on The Right Choice, KPRL.
And good afternoon. Darcia Stebbins flying solo today. Kenny, my co-host, Kenny Ennie, is out enjoying his vacation. And I do hear from him from time to time. And he actually did send me over a good story. So I have been getting Darcia Stebbins here. And I'll say that I've been called a lot of things. I am wearing the shirt that Kenny Ennie gave to me a couple weeks ago that indicates, if you could see it, it has kind of a what we call a T account in accounting, but it has a left-hand side column that says experts, and a right-hand side column that says conspiracy theorists. And on the expert side are no tally marks. On the conspiracy theorist side, there are 37 tally marks put out by the Babylon Bee. So I am wearing this shirt in honor of Kenny while he's enjoying his vacation. I've been called an election denier. I've been called many other things, spreading misinformation. So I took that to having a label, I guess, a banner similar to Miss America, Miss California, Miss whatever, and I have misinformation. So I wear that from time to time. That was as a result of Supervisor Bruce Gibson calling out local people, referring to me as spreading and sowing seeds of doubt and spreading misinformation about our elections and the elections results from 2022. So specifically, that was where he supposedly won by 13 votes. And I will continue to say that I do not believe that he won by 13 votes. So in any case, I did want to, I have people that ask me, I'll just say I'm a fair elections advocate, and I have gotten involved as best I can in multiple different organizations and just trying to build a community so that we can secure our elections and know that in a representative republic, a constitutional representative republic, which is what we're supposed to have here in America, the United States of America, the Constitution is still the law of the land. And it's amazing to me how many people are not understanding that there is a constitution and that the constitution still is the law of the land, and the Supreme Court can make their decisions and Congress can make their decisions and the president can make his decisions, and the Supreme Court does not get to tell the president if the president wants to take action and have an executive order. Now, if they want to have that be codified, that can go through Congress and there can be legislation, and then the legislation is changed. If there want to be Supreme Court rulings, then the Supreme Court can rule. But the Article 4, Section 4 is the one that I follow most closely right now, because this is the one that I feel that our state of California is in default, I guess. Article 4, Section 4 is the one that indicates that the United States shall guarantee to every state in this union a republican form of government and shall protect each of them against three things: against invasion, and against domestic violence, and a republican form of government. Those are the three things. One, republican form of government, protection from invasion, and against domestic violence. So in our state of California, and especially with regard to our elections, especially with regard to our finances, especially with regard to some of the laws that infringe upon even the Second Amendment that says that it shall not be infringed, those continually get through the California legislature, continually get chipped away and chipped away and chipped away. And here we are with the finances of the state of California, where we are in what's considered financial default. Now, we're being told on a level that has to do with our local issues, whether it's the schools, where the legal counsel is saying you need to follow the state law, whether it's the water, the Paso Robles water basin, that we're being told, oh, you have to pay all of this money or the state's going to come in, meaning the Department of Water Resources. And then we have our elections, that if we're electing federal offices, that is a federal election, and there are certain rules that pertain to the federal elections that the federal government can dictate. So we have a call. I'll go to that call. And, good afternoon. You're on Open Mic Friday. What would you like to talk about today?
So many important things to talk about. I'm sorry to take the time, but if you were sitting at the card table right now looking at your hand, would you play the filibuster card to get the SAVE Act? It seems worth it to me.
Well, it's interesting. I believe that it's worth it, but I also believe that what President Trump issued a couple days ago was basically saying, all right, we can do this the easy way or we can do this the hard way. As a parent, he's looking at the Save America Act and saying, listen, nothing else happens unless we get this passed. So I think it will eventually pass. And if it doesn't, I think it goes to the hard way, and I think it can be even worse for them and better for America. So either way, I think we win. And can we secure our elections? Yes, we can absolutely secure our elections. So where I think the issue is with the other provisions of the Save America Act, not just voter ID. So there's two other issues in there. Main issues, but I mean, I haven't read the entire bill. I'll disclaim that. But there's also in there where they would have to say that Title IX does apply and that boys are boys and girls are girls, and that in that act, it does have a provision for Title IX being the law of the land, and that every state needs to comply with that. So I think people are hesitant. the Democrats especially are hesitant to sign on to the Save America Act. And it's the ones that are really disgusting are the Republicans that are not willing to sign on to that. So I think it's President Trump in his true fashion. Let's make a deal, the art of the deal, and saying we can do this the easy way or we can do this the hard way. What do you think about the filibuster?
It's a very valuable card. It's a high card. But there's times like in bridge or spades where hearts where you got to say, I'm going big or going home. Because if we don't get our elections reliable, then we're not going to get much in the future, or our future is dark.
And that's why I go back to Article 4, Section 4, because in California, I think it's pretty clear and that the immigration is a federal government issue. And if you have a sanctuary state or a sanctuary city, or you have, it's actually in a state of insurrection. So the question is, has President Trump signed the Insurrection Act? Can he take action? Can he be specific as to where he's going to apply that? And when California owes the federal government money because of all of the unemployment insurance, the EDD fraud that they've admitted to, they've agreed there was fraud, that California owes the federal government money. And when you have that, they haven't had audited financial statements, timely audited financial statements, which is a requirement. They haven't had timely filed audited financial statements for 6 years. I think maybe even a little bit longer, but certainly for at least 6 years. And so when you don't have financial statements that you can rely on, you can't issue government obligation bonds. And so where do you get the money? You owe money to the federal government. The federal government is funding, and it's billions of dollars every month. And at some point, and President Trump has threatened, you know, at some point that dries up. And California doesn't have the money.
Nice to talk to you. Sorry to distract the show away from those scoundrels,
you,
as they call themselves our authority.
Thank you for calling in. But I was going to just say, so the filibuster, where have you seen that apply, and how do you think that it should be used? Why do you think it should be used?
I don't have much reference behind it, but it's the fear is if we do away with it and then we lose power, they could have much more say in their doings. So I don't know. I don't have much reference on it. I just thought it was a tit-for-tat kind of thing. If we can vote down this, if we can get rid of the filibuster, we can pass the SAVE Act.
And one of the provisions for passing the SAVE Act is that we have secure elections. So it's a little bit of a catch-22.
Okay. Thank you. Sorry to hold you up. Go get those water pirates.
Yeah. So, you know, how do you fix the election system with elections that perhaps are going a little sideways? And I'll get calls saying that somehow I'm discouraging people from voting. No, I am encouraging people to vote as securely as they possibly can in our county while we still have paper ballots, while we still have precincts. The most secure way you can vote is to go to the precinct on election day and get a precinct ballot. You sign the voter roster. That is you in person. I'd love to see where we have indelible ink so that you can only vote once. And I'd love to see where we have chain of custody, because once the ballots get mailed out to anyone and everyone on the active voter rolls, once those get mailed out, we lose chain of custody. We have no idea, and there's no way to prove that the person receiving the ballot is an eligible voter and the person returning the ballot is in fact that eligible voter, and that if the signature matching is the only safeguard that you really have in place, that one, that the person who completed the ballot inside that envelope is in fact the eligible voter. If it's the signature matching process, I've been down watching our elections every single election since 2020, and there are anywhere from 800 to 900 signature mismatches, either where someone has sent their vote by mail ballot back in and didn't include their signature or date, or they did include the signature and it doesn't match the signature on file with the county clerk's office. So there's 800, 900 people supposedly that have sent in their vote to get counted and it hasn't been counted. So given the story that came out of San Francisco where there are initiatives that are being signed by other people. Now, I don't know whether that signature will ever get in, whether it will be disqualified and just it's disqualified and it doesn't impact the actual voter here in the county. But it does call into question how this, you know, information was included on that initiative and why they're paying people to be able to get signatures. So the signature matching is you're signing on the outside of an envelope that goes through the U.S. Postal Service that gets at least handled by 14 people. And I know that if you go down to sign loan documents or even through DocuSign, for example, that it's supposed to be a secure way to identify you as the person who's actually signing. So I want our elections to be secure. I want to have in-person voting, one-day elections, election day, not 45 days before the election you can vote, and 28 days, you know, 45 days of counting and 28 days after the election to be counting those ballots. So let's secure it. We can do this, but people have to kind of get off their you-know-whats, get out of their seat, get down to the precinct, have voting be fun again. Get with your community, get with your neighbors, you're all at the same precinct, and go for coffee and go vote in person on election day. I'd love to see the ballots be counted at the precinct so that it's transparent, it's verifiable, and that we can trust our elections again, because it's not just me. It's, you know, 80-85% of the people don't trust the results of the election. So when we have subpoenas out there for Fulton County, Georgia, we have Maricopa County, Arizona. Tina Peters has been in jail now for a year as county clerk recorder in Grand Junction, Colorado, Mesa County, Colorado. And we have counties in California that have had significant issues, Shasta County, Orange County, San Luis Obispo County. I believe it's time that we take care and secure our elections. And welcome, you're on Sound Off.
Hi, Darsha. Hey, I wonder if you know very much about Vanessa Rosso, who is running for county clerk recorder. I know she's a Republican. We had an opportunity to listen to her speak recently, and she seems like she is really doing the work and really wants to make a difference, knowing the system that we have there in San Luis Obispo County at the clerk's office. I just wonder if you knew anything about her, if you intend to have her on the radio to share her outlook and her goals for that position.
I do know Vanessa. I've spent quite a bit of time talking with Vanessa. I'm glad that there are people stepping up to run for county clerk recorder. I know that people are disappointed that I have not run and that I haven't put my name in there. And I just vow that I don't mean to disappoint you, but I believe that I can help secure our elections in even bigger ways than just being the county clerk recorder. So with Vanessa, she has sought the Republican Party endorsement. And I have concerns. I'll just say that she seems to be okay with having electronic machines involved in the elections process. And I am 100% opposed to that. I'm opposed to having e-poll books that in... E-poll books are when you check in at a poll, it has your name, address, and you sign on either, you can sign electronically. So your signature then is verified. So in theory, you're getting verification right there that you are the person you say you are, but there's no voter ID. Again, it's that you're there at the right precinct and you're signing for the person that you're supposed to be and get a ballot. That's an e-poll book. E-poll book company in New Mexico. There have been issues with that. I can talk a little bit more about it after the break, but I appreciate you bringing up her name and that she is running as a Republican Party candidate for the County Clerk Recorder San Luis Obispo. There's also Gaia Powell, who is running. So the three people in the race, Elena Cano, Gaia Powell, and Vanessa Rosso. Thank you so much for calling in. And after the break, I can go into a little bit more of it.
This Fox Business News update on KPRL is brought to you by Stifel, your full-service wealth management firm since 1890. Stifel, located at 1337 Vine Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-3080. Stifel, 238-3080.
I'm Lauren Simonetti, and this is the Fox Business Report.
A choppy trading session with the major averages ending lower for the day and week as investors weighed a mixed batch of economic data against a widening Middle East conflict. Crude prices drifted lower earlier in the trading session, but that didn't last long. Brent crude, the global oil benchmark, ending the week at over $103 a barrel, while West Texas immediate crude, that's the U.S. benchmark, rose to over $98 a barrel. Tech was the worst performer among the 11 S&P 500 sectors, while energy and utilities gained. The Magnificent Seven big cap tech stocks fell for a second day, led by Tesla and Meta. The Dow winners, Boeing, United Health, and McDonald's. The Dow decliners, Caterpillar, Microsoft, and Salesforce. The Dow falling 119 points, the Nasdaq lower by 207, S&P 500 down 40. That's your Fox Business Report. I'm Hillary Barsky, invested in you.
Progressive presents Heroes That Keep Truckers Going. Today's hero, the Rest Up Bathroom Custodian. Is there toilet paper? No. Paper towels? No. Clean stalls? Also no. But the soap dispenser is full, and that counts for something. Thanks, hero. Know what else keeps truckers going? Progressive's expanded cargo protection through their enhanced Cargo Plus coverage. Get a quote at progressivecommercial.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Coverage subject to policy terms, limits, and conditions. Not available in California.
This Fox Business News update on KPRL brought to you by Stifel, your full-service wealth management firm since 1890. Stifel, located at 1337 Vine Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-3080. Stifel, 238-3080.
When it comes to sustainable energy systems and service, Central Coast residents trust Solarponics. Marilyn from Templeton says, quote, Solarponics installed our system almost 20 years ago. There are occasions when your system needs to be serviced. With Solarponics, work is completed quickly with knowledge and skill. This is as important a part of a solar company as the original installation. Thank you, Marilyn, for your Google review. When we install a sustainable energy system, we're installing a lifetime of as important service. Don't just go solar, go Solarponics. Solarponics.com.
Attention Central Coast homeowners. Is your water heater over 7 years old? If so, replace it with a heat pump water heater before it fails and save thousands in energy costs. Plus, new rebates cover up to 80% of the cost. Call or click to get a free, no-hassle quote today. Don't just go solar, go Solarponics. Solarponics.com.
Hey folks, Greg King here from your Valley Fresh Market on Del Rio Avenue in Atascadero. This next 2 weeks, we got some hot prices for you, like our Prairie Fresh all-natural pork shoulder roast, just $2.49 a pound. You can also get fresh cabbage or potatoes for just 39 cents a pound. We also have Blarney Stone corned beef brisket. We have flats for $5.99 and points for $4.99. Homemade Irish soda bread from our bakery, just $3.99 each. We got hot deals for Tuesdays and Thursdays for the next couple weeks. Tuesday the 17th and Tuesday the 24th, we have untrimmed tri-tip for just $5.99 a pound. 3-pound bag of Buddy's Mandarin Oranges, just two for $5. On Thursday the 12th or the 19th, we have Quaker Oats, 42-ounce, that's old-fashioned or quick, just $5. Barilla Pasta, five for $5. That's an amazing deal. We also have Estrella Wines, 1.5 liters for just $5 a bottle. We're Valley Fresh Market, where you get fresh food, fair prices, and the best service on the Central Coast every day.
The Sound Off lines are open at 238-5775. 238-KPRL. The North County's listening to you on Sound Off.
Good afternoon, Darcia Stebbins. Flying solo today, Kenny Enny, my co-host, is on vacation for one more week. He'll be back next week, and we can start talking about whatever he wants to talk about. Today, I thought I would follow up. We've had two different phone calls that I think are related. And so when talking about the electronic machines in our elections, we have my concern is that when we have the software code, computers are programmed to do what computers do. Now we have AI, which adds into a whole nother level, but essentially where the tabulators that we have in our county, they're Dominion tabulators. Now that has been purchased by another company called Liberty Vote. Liberty Vote is actually one of the companies that puts out the e-poll books. They're out of Missouri. So it's all related. And in fact, it goes back to some areas that currently have been in the news with regard to actions that President Trump has taken. So let's look at it. It started out, our current Dominion tabulators and the Dominion software that's running in San Luis Obispo County, and I have to tell you, it's 60% of the state of California has Dominion software in their voting machines. And truly, that goes back to Sequoia right before that. And Sequoia, and the same software is in that because Sequoia bought some of the software that came from Smartmatic. And where is Smartmatic? Where did that originate? Venezuela. So some engineers in Venezuela got together when Chavez was running, and it was assumed that he would likely lose that election that was happening, 2000s, early 2000s. There was a system that was designed using ATM machine technology and casino type technology from Italy and otherwise, where these designers, engineers from Venezuela got together and formed a company that became Smartmatic. And the Smartmatic machines, what eventually happened is Smartmatic had a lot of the contracts on an international level. Then they were purchased for domestic for United States by a smaller company that's called Sequoia. And then an even smaller company at the time was Dominion. And so Dominion essentially has the same software that the Smartmatic machines have, ESNS, Heart Verity. They all have the same type of software that can flip votes, can change candidates, candidate numbers, so that it's a simple change. And I've described Alex Halderman in the Fulton County, Georgia lawsuit, Curling versus Raffensperger, who was the Secretary of State of Georgia. And in that court case, in open court, he showed how you can change and flip a vote from George Washington. All you do is reset to go to have the machine open in safe mode, and it flipped a vote from George Washington to Benedict Arnold. So we know that it has the capability. Now it goes to whether or not we can prove that. The hardware itself, I'll mention that too, and I will get to the water board that we attended. So if you have questions about the water board, get ready. But the hardware itself, that is the Dominion, it originates out of China. The machines, you know, so the, like a printer, it's a supposedly off-the-shelf kind of scanner printer. And those are manufactured in China, sent to Taiwan. In Taiwan, then they're modified to the extent that then it says Dominion on them, and then they're shipped over here. So when we have foreign interference in our elections, we have hardware and we have software that have all have foreign interference. Now, where our data goes on election night and while votes are being counted is also at issue. So I just want to put it out there that at some point in time, this is all going to come out. I think right now there's stories about China and the data going to China. I've said our data is affected by things that are happening in Venezuela, Cuba, Iran, who has people, we'll go into that a little bit later, Italy, Germany, Spain, Portugal, Serbia, there's Serbia Dominion contractors out of Serbia, Russia, China. So to say that we don't have foreign interference in our elections is to be literally scales over your eyes. So we got to wake up. We got to take control of this. We've got to understand that there is a threat to our republic. And I'm never going to use the word democracy because we are supposed to be a republic. And that is what is guaranteed to every single state in the United States of America. So when you have California, who wants to be its own, the state, the initiative was to be its own country, there is no provision for being your own country. Once you are part of the United States of America, California, you know, Hotel California, you can check out, but you can never leave. There is a compact, and that compact cannot be broken. California has a constitutional amendment so that we now have a contract instead of a compact. And so with that contract, it's been modified and amended and the propositions 950 times. So let's get back to the compact with the United States of America, and let's protect our state from invasion. Let's protect our state from domestic violence, and let's protect the republic. I'll go to the phone lines. Hi, welcome. You're on the air. Open Mic Friday.
How are you doing? Hey, on this voting, we can find out that we have voted through the county, but can we find out how they recorded our vote?
No.
I mean, can an individual go to the county and find out how his vote was recorded?
Fortunately or unfortunately, no, you can't. So once your ballot, if you go to a precinct and you vote in person, you turn in that ballot, it is a, quote, secret ballot. That ballot is not supposed to be able to be tied back to you as a voter. If you mail in your ballot or drop it off at a drop box or drop it off at other location that gets to the county clerk recorder, at the point where they separate the ballot from the envelope, if they verified your signature, at the point they separate the ballot, it cannot be traced back to you. And that's one of the issues, like we're in Orange County where Maya Jean, the gal's boxer dog that voted in an election, how do you go back to the boxes of ballots that have been counted and pull out the one that is no longer eligible? So okay. The answer is that it's secret. You can go back and look at different precinct information. Right now, what happens is about 95% of the votes coming in are use the vote by mail ballot and envelope, and about 5% of the people, the patriots I call them, that go to the precinct on election day, that you can get precinct data. And perhaps if you and your friends are 100% of your precinct, you can find out how you voted.
Okay. Fair enough. I appreciate that.
And I encourage you to get together with your friends and your neighbors. And when we have this election coming up, I hope that it can be secured by that point in time. And I just know that we have the wind at our back right here, and we demand that we have some kind of way to be able to know that the person showing up in person is in fact that voter on the roster, and that a ballot has not yet been counted in your name. And that is the only way you will know.
So everybody's getting a mail-in ballot sent to their house.
Correct.
So you take that ballot down to the precinct on election day, you turn it in to them.
You can do that. You don't actually, it's not a requirement that you turn it in, but yes, you can exchange that vote by mail ballot for a precinct ballot.
Okay, well, I think that's how I'm going to feel a little more comfortable. I will be going in on election day.
I'm so glad to hear that, and I appreciate that and encourage you to do that. And it's the precinct ballots. Those are the only ballots that get counted on election day. They get
good
scanned
enough
in that night.
Well, that's how I'm going to do it from now on.
Thank you. I appreciate
I
that.
Like,
spread
I feel
the word.
Like I'm being cheated. Otherwise,
I know, and it's a fine line between, you know, in discouraging people from voting, because I want your vote to count, and about the only way we can demand that it happen is to have 95% of the people voting in person on election day, and get it back to where it was good enough for 225 years. So it's really only been within the last 20 years in the state of California, for sure, where we have serious concerns with having the vote by mail ballot and how it's being counted. So
thank you so much.
And with regard to voting and election day is June 2nd, 2026. It is an open primary, so the primary is the top two vote getters, regardless of whether they're Democrat, Republican, American, Independent, no party preference, whatever party you may be represented, is the top two vote getters that continue on to the general election in November. So June 2nd for California. Others have already gone through their primaries, and the primaries happen anywhere from March to September 1st, I think, is the last primary in the United States. So let's go to water. And I did get waterboarded last night, which is what I call going to the water board meetings for the Paso Robles area groundwater basin. And it was a workshop held at the Bellacera Hotel. It's very nice there. They were very welcoming. And we got to hear about what is happening with regard to the PRAGA group, which is the Paso Robles Area Groundwater Authority. And several people, Greg, Murray, there's been probably a small group, Cody. We're all trying to determine where they're trying to go with this. What essentially came of it was they're trying to find a way to be able to charge for consultants and administrators and attorneys and insurance and monitoring anything but actual projects to solve a problem. They're trying to charge for those things, and it just to keep the lights on, as they say, it's $1 million budget. Over $1 million budget to just pay the consultants to do all of the all of that. And what came of it was they want to use Proposition 26. After the break, we'll talk a little bit about Proposition 26, what it is to be a tax, what it is to be a fee, and why it makes a difference. So call in 238-5775. And we can change the topic, but I'm going to go to where we're talking about water. We'll be right back after the break. Please support our sponsors.
As the markets have their ups and downs, real estate remains one of the most stable assets in everyone's portfolio. Hi, this is Cindy Mims, owner broker of Colony Mortgage, voted best mortgage company in North County 3 years running. We offer conventional FHA, VA, and reverse mortgages and 100% purchase loans for first-time home buyers. Are you a builder and tired of the red tape when dealing with banks and expensive hard money loans? I have a great new option. Or are you 62 years or older? You can possibly eliminate your monthly mortgage payment and get cash in your pocket. At Colony Mortgage, we have hometown service with competitive rates. We have years of experience with creative financing to find that right loan for you. If it's credit issues stopping you, let us help. We move from our 20-year Atascadero location and now offer two convenient locations to meet personally in Atascadero and Paso Robles. Call 805-466-3598. Thank you for supporting your local businesses.
With the big beautiful bill comes new tax laws, and for business owners that means more rules, more details, and more chances to miss important savings. This is Billy Gallant with your locally owned and operated H&R Block offices. We stay on top of every tax law change so your business stays compliant and keeps more of what it earns. From deductions and credits to full business tax preparation, our experienced tax professionals handle it all with accuracy and personal service you can trust. Don't let new tax laws cost your business time or money. Call your local H&R Block office today to make an appointment and get your business taxes done right.
Looking for the perfect getaway without going too far? Experience the beauty of Allegretto Vineyard Resort, recently named Gold for the best Paso Robles hotel and best resort in the 2026 Central Coast Best Award. Enjoy peaceful vineyard views, elegant rooms, and the welcoming atmosphere locals love at Cello Restaurante and Bar. Discover award-winning cocktails recognized with silver for the best specialty cocktails. For a memorable stay or staycation right here in Paso Robles, book your visit at Allegretto Vineyard Resort today.
And welcome back to Sound Off and Open Mic Friday. Please call in 805-238-5775. Darsha Stebbins in for the Darsha and Kenny Show. And looking for, in this last break, I thought I would go over some of the items discussed last night in the Paso Robles Area Groundwater Authority workshop. And in that workshop, it basically was defining what projects they thought they were going to be working on, which was zero, and the annual report that came out that is one of the requirements, and how much it was going to cost to keep the lights on, and how they were going to go about raising funds in order to pay for all of the consultants, et cetera, to not do projects. Of course, I'm a little bit sarcastic about it, but it's pretty amazing that this quote-unquote authority thinks that they have the authority, first of all, to assign a fee, and it's a consumption fee. I think settle that they are not going forward with the tax, that it's not a tax that's going to be assessed, because if it's a tax, they have to follow the Proposition 13, by which they would have to have 66 2/3% of the people over the basin that are being taxed aware of the tax and voting that they approve of the tax. So if something's a great idea, really you have the support of the people, then you can get it passed with 66 2/3% of the vote. But they know after the AB 2453 from years ago, 12 years ago, 13 years ago, and they know from the most recent community successful Proposition 218 protest vote, where people said, no, we do not want to be charged for the consumption of the water. There's a lot of other things that can be done first, including the city of Paso Robles to use Nacimiento water that's more expensive, but they have access to it, including the city of San Luis Obispo, including using some of the Santa Margarita water. They could be releasing that from the Santa Margarita Lake, including the county of San Luis Obispo using some of the state water that they get out at Shandon. So this has been a whole topic for 15, 20 years. But basically in Proposition 26, they're moving forward with that provision. And what that does is it's either a tax. And a tax means any levy, charge, or exaction of any kind imposed by a local government, except the following. And then there's a list of seven exceptions. Last night they discussed exception number one is where they think that it's going to follow exception number one, that they have the authority to charge this fee. A charge imposed for a specific benefit conferred or privilege granted directly to the payer that is not provided to those not charged, and which does not exceed the reasonable cost to the local government of conferring the benefit or granting the privilege. So they've basically said these are the people that the budget is $1,096,000, I think is what it was, that privilege of being in that position where it's monitoring and managing the sustainability of the basin, for that privilege and benefit that they'll be charging, and it will be likely using your property tax bill that will be charged. So this won't happen immediately. One of the ways that they could do this, it looks like they're going to try to use by volume, which is using a process called evapotranspiration by a company that's called ET or Land IQ. And they're using an aerial version of how much is coming off of or evapotransferring from the plants themselves. So different crops use different amounts of water. So it's not, we don't have meters on every well, which is one of the ways that you can determine the extraction. But if you don't have meters on the well, then the other way that they're using is to be able to determine what's coming off of the plants that are being irrigated. So there's some huge discrepancies, I believe. And if people want to have more information on what this means, but let me just be clear, if you live over the Paso Robles area groundwater basin, now, miraculously, politically, it stops at the Monterey County line, but it's essentially 101, east of 101, and north of, let's say, Santa Margarita, goes out Creston, where there's a lot more water. Creston is actually the watershed for a lot of the Werwero River, the different branches of the Werwero. The Estrella is included, and then over to the Salinas River. So Atascadero is not included. Atascadero has its own subbasin. San Miguel is not included, the San Miguel Community Services District, because they have their own district and they decided not to become part of PRAGA. And the city of Paso Robles is considered part of the Paso Robles area groundwater basin. And the four players involved are the city of Paso Robles, the county, Estrella Pomar, and Shandon San Juan. Oh, we had a call. I was just going to go to that. If you could call right back, I'll pick up as soon as you could. There it is. And welcome to Sound Off. You're on the air.
Involved are the city of Paso Robles.
I can hear your radio in the background, but go ahead with your question. All right, you'll need to call back, but I could hear the radio in the background. Let's try one more time. Welcome to Sound Off.
This is Darcia?
Yes, I think I hear you. Go ahead.
You know, this is Murray, so I think I got about 1 minute left on your airtime here.
No, you have six.
For this whole thing, right?
5.5 minutes. Go ahead.
Well, anyway, just want to cut to the chase here and get out all of the weeds, all the details that I've just heard about for the last 5 minutes. So, and this is basically an alert to any property owner that has property in the basin area, which is 436,000 acres. So last night's meeting, it wasn't a board meeting, it was a workshop conducted by a consultant who is engaged by the by Braga. And in any event, so what I got out of it is bottom line, we should spend more time on this on your program than the next 5 minutes, but whatever. So basically, the 218 that failed last year, which was going to charge a total of $3 million of fees, now they've had to retreat because Prop 26 won't allow everything they wanted there. So you mentioned $1 million budget for the next fiscal year starting in June. So a couple of things came up that were surprising to me, and this is for every property owner. One is they're again claiming they're not going to charge the so-called domestic de minimis users a fee, and we don't have time to get into that detail. For all the rest of the folks that are basically ag-irrigated operators, there's going to be another fee charge to you guys, and there were different versions, which was kind of confusing. But in any event, the thing that really surprised me is that they do want to put it on your property tax bills, which are an annual fee. And so as of today, legally, they have no authority to charge anybody a fee. But last night's discussion indicated that they want to put it on the upcoming, this coming year's property tax bills and retroactively charge whatever fees they finally determine should be charged back a year.
And using people.
I'm not an attorney, but I don't even think that's legal. But I was just stunned by that one. And the other thing is, this whole funding thing, as you mentioned, is to fund this PLAGO organization, which is basically a conglomeration of highly compensated consultants that are doing whatever needs to be done over there, and definitely overcompensated attorneys, just to keep this organization going, which is basically the people that have been involved in this stuff for 20 years. And the only reason for PRAGA is to implement the plans that have been approved by the DWR to resolve our overdraft problem. And if you look at that whole budget for the next year, you'll see essentially most of the projects that are in the plan are not even funded. So we are just carrying on. What we're really doing, in my opinion, is we're keeping a bunch of consulting companies in business for another year on our money.
That's exactly right. And I agree. What they were discussing was going back to the 2025 results of the of the evapotranspiration. So looking at anyone who has what would be irrigated agriculture, looking at the results of how much water was being used, and then taking that total from 2025 and then applying it forward and charging you a fee for that. So Murray, thank you so much for calling in. I appreciate it. We have lots, we'll have next week, and we can cover a lot more. In fact, if you want to come into the studio, we can talk about that. Thank you for calling in. And folks, this is a tax. It may be called a fee, but let's determine what's legal, what's lawful. Those are two separate things in my mind. And as a community, KPRL listeners, you are very informed.
This hour of Sound Off was brought to you by Mid-State Precious Metals across the parking lot from the movie theater in Atascadero. Honest, veteran-owned. Buy or sell precious metals with integrity. Monday through Friday, 10 to 3.
AM 1230 KPRL, 99.3 FM, KPRL.com, Paso Robles, Atascadero, Templeton.